to the Hooligan's Pitch. As always, it's your boys, Michael and Chad.
Hello.
We're here. Episode 96. We're closing in on that big 100.
Triple digits.
Wow.
I know.
It's coming up quick, and it doesn't feel like we've been doing almost 100 episodes. Which is good, I guess.
That is good. This will be closing on year number three. Almost keeping up with the same amount of games in a Premier League season as a part of our episodes. But, I mean, we've done, like, World Cup stuff. We've done, you know, tidbits here and there. Yeah, man, our 100th episode might coincide with a clinching title.
That would be crazy.
We're not planning on doing episode 100 when the title's clinched. But if it happens to fall on that day and our schedules collide, I will not be upset about it. Champagne will be popped regardless, let's be honest.
I want to see you spraying the rim.
Yeah, right in the camera.
Yeah, well, then, if that's what we get, then I'm fingers crossed that it happens that way.
Hey, we can't rule it out.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty, Chad. It's a little later on this pod, doing Stone Delicious IPA. You've heard of this one before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
9.4%.
Oh, you are thirsty. Well, I'm not exactly matching you with that, but made a little gin, Ricky. It looks like water, but I'm getting ricked up, you know.
Getting ricked up. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Chad. I want to start on the high points, the low points, the interesting points. I got two stats on my end that I'd like to share. Then we have to go into Liverpool. It's just, I guess this is, let's start with this stat. And this is a very broad stat. And it just shows how, I think, different last year was compared to this year. But at this point, I guess before the weekend started, Liverpool has three more points than what they had last season at this point. Really? So just put that into perspective of where Liverpool was. At this point last season, Liverpool was on the brink of falling out of the title race. Okay?
Yeah.
And we had three less points. So it just puts it into perspective. I don't want to say the drop off from last year to this year. I just think last year we had one of the most competitive three horse races we've seen in a while. And this year it was like everyone fell back to earth besides Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at what, you know, Arsenal would be at this point, but I know throughout most of the season it was like pretty much neck for neck of Arsenal, like level on points, if not like a touch ahead, which is, again, kind of just crazy to think about because, you know, it's not been the goal zone, like fast-paced Arsenal that we've seen the past two seasons. It's been a different team, and then, you know, it's been affected by suspensions and injury and stuff, so, and it like feels like it shouldn't be comparable to last season, but then when you see that, yeah, it is like even on points or, you know, 3 points off, whatever it might be, it's like crazy. But it you know, kind of harkens back to what I was talking about last week with just the overall context of this season. It's from an Arsenal fan perspective, it sucks because you're not leading the league, right? But at the end of the day, it hasn't been a terrible season. Though I'm sure now, like, obviously points will be further off. But yeah, that's interesting. Though I feel like it feels like Liverpool should be way ahead of their point count. But
I know, like, we're pretty much having the same season. It's just. Yeah, it's definitely fascinating to think about where we are in terms of the style of play. It feels like last year it wasn't a Mo Salah carry. Yet we're still on the same pace. And yeah, it's definitely fascinating. I'm trying to find last year's table at this point. I can't find it. It just got brought up on the broadcast.
Okay.
And so, yeah, just comparing the two seasons and how Arnie Slot said it, how injuries can really make or break a season. And again, so fortunate. Our team is just, you go from, I guess, in the top 10 teams, you could really say each of those teams had somewhat of a significant injury somewhere in there, or a loss of a player to, I kind of make their team fall off a little bit. And not that I wish Liverpool is struggling to get a title this year, but it'd be really fascinating if we had a full strength City and Arsenal again, because I feel like we would be in the exact same situation, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be pretty close. I think you know, Forest would kind of be that weird outlier, and they're still in, you know, as they've shown against all three of those teams, they can cause issue and take points. And so, I mean, they've gone through their own, you know, injury spells and stuff. So it would have been really interesting to see, like, all four of those teams just, you know, full strength and how it would all pan out. I still think the motivation factor for City would have been tough to, like, keep that going. But I think they certainly would not have gone through that spell of six losses or whatever it was.
Again, it's Rodri. When Rodri's not in this team, it's just so different. And Kevin has been great for all these years, but very different when you have that defensive rock in the back. And yeah, man, Forrest bringing it to City this weekend. I thought about getting up. I wanted to, but I said I'm just gonna hope. I'm just gonna hope they get the win. And when I woke up, I think Kristen woke me up. I think she woke me up with Forrest 1. I was just like, yes. Only one in the sleeper pick'ems to pick Forrest, by the way.
Oh, nice.
No one believing. Chad, the heat map. Man City with almost 800 touches to Forrest 450. Mm-hmm. Again, this is their thing. Dominate the ball. Have the ball. Yep. We will find an opportunity to score our goal when it comes. And it's funny because I went and looked at a couple post-match threads, and there's so much Ederson hate and so much like he's a terrible keeper. And I'm just like, we've been saying this for years.
Yeah.
It's just he's been not having, he doesn't he's have to do great much.
Wall in front of him.
He doesn't have to do much. So, I mean, to get beat on his near post like that, I mean, Hudson Tadoy, great, great shot, but like that shouldn't happen.
It was, great shot. And yeah, from, you know, somewhat close range, but like, I think you would expect a near post shot there rather than him trying to fancy some like cross goal shot from that angle. So yeah, I think pretty inexcusable to let that go in. But that's kind of the keeper he is, right? Like a lot of times when those big save moments come to him, it's doesn't really pan out that well.
No, which is crazy to me that Ortega isn't the one starting in I don't know, at this point of the season too, when it's like you're fighting for Champions League now. Your style of play is, yes, you're very ball dominant, but you're getting beat in low score lines from pretty savable, I think, shots. So it wouldn't shock me, honestly, if we come back from I won't call it a break. It's a break for Liverpool from the EPL, but when they come back and go against Brighton this next weekend, that Ederson isn't starting. It wouldn't shock me. Not one bit.
No, I think, you know, he probably went to Ederson just for, you know, some familiarity back there with, I still don't know his name, their new defender, Kushinov or something.
Kushinov, yeah.
So I think Pep's probably trying to keep it, you know, similar back there and, you know, then piece in the new guy where I don't know if that's worked well so far. You know, it seems like City isn't really back. I mean, you look at their last five games, it's a, you know, loss, win, loss, win, loss. It's, you're not really clicking. I think Ortega looks like the keeper more likely to make a crazy save. You know, Ederson may be better with his distribution and, you know, the ball at his feet, which again is part of your ethos, but I think you're right. You're fighting for top four. You're now out of top four currently. You need to put, you know, the aces in their places and
coming out with some phrases today.
Yeah, so you know, it's a surprising loss, but you know, Forrest is good at what they do. They're comfortable letting you have the ball and you know, we'll take their chances. And, you know, City had some good chances, maybe a little unlucky on some of those, but Forrest also had multiple other chances, which you could also say were unlucky. So,
hey, man, call me crazy, but give Forrest the ball for a majority of the game. And I feel like...
I know.
It might mess him up.
I think so. I mean, you look at so many other goals, and it is that counterattack kind of movement, right? Like, and then it's, if not, you know, a winger getting the goal, just crossing it into Wood, and, you know, he gets the tap in the head or whatever it might be. So if you let them kind of have all the ball they want, they might kind of struggle to really create. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird team, but I hope they make Champions League. They remind me of just like an old school Mourinho team with just like park the bus, lock it down. We're not going to let anyone get, you know, even into our final third with the ball, it feels like. Fascinating team, man. I hope they make top four. Like, they would have to have a crazy fall off here.
They should be okay.
I mean, they've already played Liverpool, Arsenal, City. I think their toughest ones coming up. Not the craziest of schedules here. Aston Villa will probably be the toughest. Brighton, you know, they can bring it, but... Oh, that's not even in EPL, the Brighton match. So it's really Chelsea. The ones that stand with me is Chelsea and Aston Villa, and I guess Man United. I guess.
Yeah. I think that's fair. The rest should be pretty straightforward wins. But, you know, we've seen Forrest kind of just flounder at points too. So they got to keep their eye on the prize here and finish out strong because, you know, this like new Everton team could cause issue if they're on their day. You know, even Tottenham can. Brentford away has been a tougher team than Brentford at home. So
for sure,
you know, and then Palace, they could do something as well if Forest isn't, you know, on their A game. So I think it's a favorable schedule for them, but they just gotta keep the focus and. You know, don't get too distracted by the top four calling.
So this weekend's going to be crazy, Chad, because Brighton and City go against each other, and whoever wins that game kind of claims a top five spot. Mm. We could see City drop to sixth.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, with the way Brighton's been playing, their players are coming back. They're on a heater right now. Six wins in a row. Four of those coming in the Premier League. I like their chances. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, they have been looking much better. That's for sure. I think Brighton will put up a really good fight, you know.
What time's that game? God, don't be an early one. 8? Okay. So, I got the 10 a.m. game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just so hard to judge what City team will show up, right? Like it could be the City team that, you know, kind of re-sparked their season a little bit to get them up in this top four or five conversation again, or it's the team that, you know, went out and crashed out of the Champions League, or, you know, even against Forest, like, yeah, had their chances but like couldn't put anything away. It's, you know, Haaland was played out of the game, basically. You know,
how many shots on target did he have that game?
Oh, I know I just did his stats, but you're asking the wrong question. I don't think he had any, if I remember correctly. Yeah, 2 shots, but none on target. So,
it's terrible.
You know, that's for as low touch of a player he is, you need him to at least get shots on target. I mean, you look at, he had 17 touches, and you compare that to Chris Wood, 19 touches, 2 shots, and 1 on target. So, like, equally quiet games, but Chris Wood got a shot on target at least, so he's a step ahead of, you know, Haaland here. So, I don't know. I like Brighton. You know, they had a weird season, I feel like.
Very weird. They were, I feel like, bottom mid-table at one point, not that long ago.
Yeah, I think they were like 10, 11 down there
and somewhere. It's like seeing them now a point behind City, it just feels weird. Yeah. But I want to ask you, Chad. Arteta got asked, "What do you think of about the title race?" Mm-hmm. And I'm curious your thoughts right now. You can't run away either.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm the same as last week, right? Like, for me, the real title race from an Arsenal perspective probably ended against Newcastle. So a few weeks ago. But you gotta believe, right?
So you're still believing?
I'll believe until it's, you know, all said and done. It's okay. You know, Liverpool gave up a goal against Southampton. It could have very well went south for them there, and who knows if that snowballs. I don't know. But you know, Arsenal clearly have their own issues to work out still, but you know, I don't think being a fan is fun if you're not gonna just kind of believe. Like, you could be in the reality of the situation, but like, I don't know, I'd rather keep a positive mindset and hope for the best.
That's fair. If I'm an Arsenal fan right now, I'm thinking of the Premier League as at this point of the season, right? You pretty much have top four secured. You would like to think that giving more experience to the young guys, but putting sole focus into Champions League at this point.
So I
know that's definitely in the back of your head, but I question when we're seeing Odegaard, Rice, you know, your guys who you will need for Champions League playing a full 90 in these matches we're seeing. Like, that's, yeah. And I understand you have PSV. I hope you're not playing those guys or starting those guys this week.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, even if you give up five, like, you're still good.
And that's the thing is, like, I would hope that no team Arteta puts out there could give up six goals. And if that's the case, then
you don't deserve it.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I would hope he's gonna rest a lot of key players, or you know, sprinkle them in here and there. But you know, dude, you know, the 20-30 minutes just to kind of keep them in the game flow. But I mean, yeah, you see, we've. I think probably from the most part of the season, seeing the same team week after week, just purely based off of like, there's no one else available, which is, you know, it will take its toll, especially at this last part of the season where, you know, legs are already probably a little tired and, you know, you're taking the mental blow of seeing your teammates go down injured and, you know, title dreams slipping away. And, it's got to be a rough period there. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you have Saka coming back real soon. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll just be a big
help.
I think it's pretty shocking to me. I think the way the Man United versus PSV game, like how y'all differed. I was like, was PSV that bad, or did Man U play up another level? Like, I don't want to say Man U was good. I just don't think Arsenal was that good either in last weekend's matchup. They weren't really a threat, it seemed like, in the final third.
Yeah.
Wanneri is, damn, you guys got one there.
Like, yeah.
That feels good, right? An actual true winger to either play with Saka or back him up or find another place for him on the pitch. Like, you guys hit the lottery with him. But it's like, why didn't this team score more than one goal against Man United?
Yeah, I think PSV was that bad. Like, some of the defending on the goals was pretty bad. That said, I don't think United was that much better. But like you said, I think Arsenal was just not on it as much as they probably should have been, or, you know, at least couldn't find a way through. And yeah, I think it would be better to, you know, kind of play to our strengths of who's available now, right? Like, kind of the same thing I'd say about Tottenham. It's like, you're trying to play the same game plan with you know, the guys that can't really run it. So here for Arsenal, I think, you know, I get Mourinho came in and got those two goals and somehow solidified his
he's spot the striker now.
Yeah. Which, like, okay, he can head a ball, he can pass, he can kick, whatever, but I think it. I would probably like to see it more of like, just do like a Trossard and Unwary up top, and utilize your wingbacks way more. So I guess maybe do like a three at the back. And what? Got the two wingbacks. Probably do like a Rice or Partey with Odegaard. You know, something where it's like, use the guys and the strengths we have available. Because obviously the like trying to play players out of position out of necessity isn't always going to work. And you know, when people were ranting and raving about Marino being the new striker, I was like, for me, I was already pumping the brakes of like two great goals, but like they were the same goal. So any team just figures that out, and you know, that is done.
Guard your back post.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. You know, it's annoying to lose. Well, felt like a loss. But
Freudian slip right there, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this United team, I think it was a boring game all around, except for that last...
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, whatever it was. But
David Raya,
you know, he came up big. You know, got that big double save. But like, I don't know if you saw Declan Rice in his post match interview, but he basically like called it as it was, as saying like they were just making mistakes they haven't made all season, and kind of, you know, were doing weird things they haven't done all season, and just kind of lost the focus. And like, I think that's pretty clear. You know, giving the ball away so high up, and I think just overall general passing and play from Arsenal is just not at the level you would want the second place team to be in if you're trying to still keep your name in a title race, however far this may be away from you now. But you know, if it wasn't this big points gap right now, you would have to go into United with or without your striker and like really put him away. And, you know, you got to almost make every game a little bit of like a statement win and just like keep that momentum rolling. And
well, that's why I think mentally EPL for Arsenal and those players is like gone, and it's all in Champions League, right? Energy looked way, even though PSV wasn't the same type of opponent, they played crappy. The energy was way different. You could tell right from the jump. Yeah.
Well, and Arsenal had so much control that first half, too. You know, United looked out of sorts the whole first half, and Arsenal just couldn't do anything with it. So, you know, I don't know, maybe a little unlucky or running out of ideas in those low block situations. But, again, I don't know. It's you got to try something new, I guess. Like, Marino up top is fine. He's doing what he needs to do, but it just,
it's fine.
He's not a striker. Yeah, it's fine. And I'd rather see Arteta tinker a little bit, especially now if we are going to just put all the eggs in the Champions League basket, cool, let's do that. But then let's almost experiment with, you know, the remaining Premier League games. Obviously you can't go too far and, you know, fall out of top four, but, you know, tweak a few things, try it. Different tactic here and there and move a player, and I don't know, maybe you unlock something.
Yeah, for me it was tough to watch Trossard in the middle centrally. Just felt like everyone was bigger around him.
Yeah.
So that was like, I don't know, I kind of questioned that. It's like every time he got the ball, it seemed like he was surrounded, and it, for him even trying to get a shot off, it was like, how? Like that he's, I don't know. When I watched him, I was like, he shouldn't be central, right? He's way better at least to cut the ball in or you know, find a good angle and then slot the ball across the box. Yeah, just tough to watch. Definitely a lot of like, ooh. And then, of course, when Bruno made his free kick, I was like, of course he was going to make that. It's the only way they can score. Like, and then, of course, Almarim says, you know, we need more Brunos. I was like, yeah, no, dude. If everyone had a team of Brunos, that would be nice.
This guy's got to figure it out.
Yeah. We just need more of our best player.
Yeah, clearly.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, it was such a weird watch, especially that first half, because like Xerxes started at striker for them, but then it felt like so often I would see him just back defending, trying to run down the ball like in their defensive area, and it's like, I get it, at a certain point it's all hands on deck, we gotta, you know, get the ball back. But it reminded me of watching Harry Kane at Tottenham, where like he's the one back there grabbing the ball, and then there's just no one up top, and
he's gassed.
Well,
I think Man United has one of the more tougher schedules to end the season, so I'm really curious as to, honestly, like, where do they fall? Because they still have Forest, City, Newcastle. I think Wolves will give them a challenge, Bournemouth, and then Chelsea and Aston Villa. They still have a lot of top 10 teams to go against. that's a pretty brutal way to end this thing, considering they've lost, I mean, God, how many games has Omrin's come in? Like 6-7? I mean, they've lost to a Tottenham. They've drew against an Everton. They've drew against a Fulham. Like, they've lost against Palace. They've lost to a lot of teams in the bottom 10, and they're about to play a lot of teams in the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, they got Leicester next.
That's like their kind of one bright spot they have. And West Ham. And even West Ham could maybe get it done. Maybe.
I feel like Leicester maybe could get it done, honestly, depending on, you know, what kind of United team shows up. If it's that United team from the first half, I think Jamie Vardy's running through you and he's scoring.
It wouldn't shock me. And Leicester need to get something together. And Van Nistelrooy coming back against United, extra motivation. This, I got chills in my right arm because, like, that's context is everything. Now that turned into a, I'm going to circle that one and try to watch it because who doesn't love a Man United downfall? There's no way they're not going to get relegated, but 17 points, 17 points in 10 games. Can they drop 17 points in 10 games? Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, you look at the table right now, Everton and West Ham are just 1 point behind them.
Like, they Man United could be 17th. They could, honestly.
It could, but
if Wolves can somewhat figure it out, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize their schedule was that
schedule's rough. That tough, but, and Wolves' schedule is not that, I don't think, that bad to end the season. So. Oh, I hope it happens. Oof. It'd be crazy. No Man City top four and almost relegated Man United to end the season was not on our prediction sheet.
Not at all.
Not even close.
It'll make me give a good hard think about our predictions for next season. Because, like, are you coming back from that? I don't know.
Nothing even matters. I know we kind of like, we're like picking and choosing Arsenal stuff. But anything else you want to stands out for you in there?
Not really. I mean, you know, you brought up the Arteta post-match interview, and it's getting a lot of weird hate because I, as far as I can tell, people are giving him a hard time because before, when he was asked about the title race, he said, you know, they're in it in, over his dead body sort of thing. And then, like, so he doesn't answer this question, and I don't know, I guess people are, I don't know. They didn't like that, I guess, and you know, give them a hard time. But, you know, it's so many of the same question week after week. And are you in the title race? Are you not? Like,
gets old.
It gets old. And, you know, I don't think a lot of managers in second place, even with this points gap, would just say, oh, we're out. Like, of maybe course. Amorim would, because that seems to be his MO of just, like, keep shitting on the team. But
and Maresca,
never in the title race, never there. But, you know, I it gets old to answer the same question over and over again. You're not like the face of the club necessarily, but, you know, a big talking piece of it, and you want to portray some like strength and hope to move forward and everything. So I have no issue with him saying title race over his dead body and now not answering, or, you know, whatever it might be. But just, I don't know. Internet around it is crazy, and
it's silly.
Silly, yeah.
I'm not. And the interviewer has asked this to him before in weird context too. So yeah, it's not a biggie. My final note for Liverpool is pretty interesting little stat here. When Endo has been subbed in, we have not let in a goal this season. So just our little super sub out there. And then Nunez's work rate was just incredible. The goal and earning the PK within a 45-second time span. It makes me question, is it worth this type of Darwin Nunez every 6 to 7 games? Maybe.
Maybe.
maybe. So, I mean, it's just chaotic, man. He just runs in there, and I was watching a highlight of him just running from, one side of the pitch to the other, just chasing the ball, while everyone else is just, watching him do it. But he was causing havoc, and then they turn the ball over, and it's no other player on our team is doing that right now. So,
there you go.
Is it worth $60 million?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think hard to put a price on it, but, it does offer just something different because he brings that chaos. He brings just that pure running up top that, your Diaz and Salah and Gakpo, Jota, they can run at you with the ball, but Darwin just he's just off on a run.
It's never ending. What's gonna happen. It's like, is he still going to chase me? And he's like, oh yeah, he is. And no disrespect to anyone else in the top 10 right now, but no one to my eyes has a striker that is doing that.
Yeah.
Honestly, Haaland isn't doing that. Chris Wood isn't doing that. We'll call it Nick Jackson. He's not doing that. Yeah. Arsenal, call it Jesus. He's not doing that. Danny Welbeck isn't doing that. You just keep going down this. No one has that chaotic striker right now who's just going to continue to press you even when it doesn't seem necessary. So, I don't know. I kind of like it. I think it brings balance to our team.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that.
But, too, it just opens up that door. So now the defense, has to always kind of be aware.
For sure.
They go against Haaland. They know it's going to be tough. But, okay, he's not going to run me down when I have the ball. He's going to wait a little bit where, Darwin's out here and I got the ball. I'm in my corner flag and oh shit, he's right here. He's right at me.
That's what the highlight reel was showing. And, and they have to boot the ball away. Then they lose it in possession. Yeah. And then, it's fascinating to watch. Super frustrating when he hits the post or has a great opportunity, but the little things make up for it here and there, but whatever. Sure. Yeah. PSG tomorrow. That's, I'm curious to see what Slot puts out. We got Gakpo back.
Okay.
I'm sick to my stomach right now just thinking about it. I might throw up.
As long as it's, it just has to be a little bit better from Liverpool, and I think you'll be okay.
That
first leg was not great from Liverpool, but I think as long as Liverpool can be okay, then I think they'll get through.
It was final third hesitation, which is crazy. We had that problem. That's gonna be a wild one. Last time we played PSG at home, we got the famous Bobby Firmino celebration.
Oh yes.
So
bring it back.
We're due for something. Klopp was asked if he was going to go, and he said, "No, I won't return to Anfield until we've won the championship." So, obviously, that won't be Champions League. He'll be there for the Premier League. The first game that the Premier League is clinched. But, PSG. Scary team. Didn't think they'd be as good. And we talked about it, though, with their front three being not the headlining names, but, really solid dudes. Yeah. And their pace is incredible. Truly. But I think it's like, they're so chaotic, they don't know what to do with that chaos. Well, it's like Liverpool has one player that's chaotic, and everyone is very methodical in what's going to happen. Almost too. Yeah. It was too methodical last game. They weren't willing to just put it on net and see what happens. Except for Harvey, my guy, just crazy. And I know we didn't even talk about Champions League. We don't need to jump into it too much. But Arne Slot and his substitutions this year have been killing it. He became the first manager to have a substitute come on to get their first touch as an assist and a goal. 45 seconds after Harvey Elliott got on, he scores a goal with his first touch. And he brought on Nunez, and you could just tell, like, instantly, things change. So I'm hoping tomorrow substitutions are on point. I'm nervous.
I can tell.
My vacation depends on this game. Like, that's what's crazy too, Chad. Like, that's fair, there's a lot that is going into this.
I think it'll be okay. He'll get through.
I'm sweating. My hands are sweaty. All right, let's talk about something else. Low scoring weekend. Not a ton of goals this week. A lot of one goal games from teams? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games that ended in either 1-1 or 1-0.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just this part of the season, you know, it's teams are either still dealing with injury or just getting people back. I think everyone's playing a little bit safer because, you know, positions are, well, not finalized, like, headed that way. I think more of these games will probably come over the next 10 games, but I do need some more goals in my life. I mean, Arsenal's not giving it to me, so I need these other teams to step it up.
Speaking of goals and droughts, let's just talk about it really quick. Chelsea. Mm. They won. They're in top four. I don't think they deserve it.
Yeah. They've certainly been struggling for a little bit here, and I think, you know, they still look to be struggling against.
Do you think Leicester, they hold it? Do you think they hold that top four spot? Their momentum is going down, in my opinion. I think Brighton and Bournemouth still have a chance to come in there and swoop it, as well as City. You just never know with City.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be tricky for them. I mean, they have Arsenal next, then Tottenham, then Brentford. So that's 3 London derbies right there for them. They get a small break with Ipswich, but then it's Fulham, Everton, Liverpool, Newcastle United, Man United, and they end with Forest. So again, not like the easiest run-in, considering you're not playing as freely as you did earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on to top four.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, I know we touched on Brighton already, but like they do feel like the more, maybe beyond Liverpool, the most like informed team at the moment.
I agree with that.
Last 5, mm-hmm. You know, the getting people back, things are clicking again. So I don't know. That Chelsea's still just this. A what team that, like, I feel like it just has not been figured out of, like, who they are or how they want to play yet, still at this point of the season.
I mean, Cucurella has, in their last, I think, 2 out of 3 wins, he's come in there and saved them?
Maybe, yeah.
Or at least, I mean, he's easily there, which is crazy. He'll probably be the player of the year for them, considering Palmer has just, like, dropped off a cliff. I don't know what's going on with Palmer, man. It's like, have teams figured him out? Has everyone else on Chelsea just not been good? I mean, so the focus has been on to him?
Like, I don't watch enough to really know what's happened to him, but I feel like he's just...
Is Nick Jackson, like the glue guy?
Maybe. Palmer's last goal was January 14th against Bournemouth.
That's when I subbed him. That's crazy. And,
you know, since then, he's had a handful of shots, but generally is just getting like one, probably averaging like 1.5 shots on target in the game since. And it's like, before that, he was, you know, still getting probably the same number of shots, but, you know, 2-3, sometimes 4 on target. And, you know, of course, those games generally end up with a goal as well because you're forcing the keeper to make a save or not. And, yeah, I don't know. He's quieted down, so something's... Maybe it was Nick Jackson. I don't know. I don't feel like, from the times that I've watched Chelsea play in recent games, like, I don't feel like he's playing in any different position or different way. I think other teams maybe just know to respect him a little bit more and you know, don't give him as much space maybe, but if he can't overcome that, then what, I don't know where you go from here.
They need to, I mean, they're still so young. And again, we can keep saying this for the next 3 years. They will still be young until they're all like 26, 27. Yeah. So I'm not saying this is peak Chelsea, but I don't know how they get better from here. With this with this team right now, I feel like how do you compete with what Liverpool is doing? Arsenal, who is essentially having an off kind of bad year. It's not their greatest year that they've had in the last 5 years. And they're still second. Forest is a new force that comes into play. City, who is just missing a majority of their glue guys. I don't know. And you see the come-ups of Brighton. Bournemouth is going to be a beast, I think, really soon. Yeah. Chelsea's in this weird spot where I just don't know with this team. They're going to have to make, I just think, older player moves. I think they need to bring in some guys who have been there and done that in order to bolster their title window. I mean, they have so many young pieces that they can ship off and sell off and get back quality players.
And that's the thing, too, is like you went out and you bought all these young guys, but I think most people would agree you bought like too much too soon.
Too many.
A lot of these guys with one good season, one half season in whatever league they may have come from. And yeah, like some are okay, are looking fine, but others haven't worked out. And it's certainly a team that needs more experience in there to just kind of right the ship every now and then. But it's just the fall off from how they started to now, like, as much as they want to say they weren't in the title race, they were for, I don't know, first half of the season, probably. They only had 2 losses in that first, like, half of the season. Up until, Christmas Eve, they got their next loss. So 2 losses and 2, 3, 4, 5 draws in there. The rest were wins. So you're certainly up there. You can have the foresight to know that this team might not go all the way, but it shouldn't collapse like and fall apart as much as it has.
Do you think any of these, like a Chelsea, a Forest, do you think any of them could pry a player off like a Madrid or Barcelona? We always see it going the other way around, where they're poaching they're poaching players from Premier League. I want to see a Vinny Jr. get poached by, I don't want to say Chelsea, but like, could you imagine if Vinny Jr. is like, Forest is the club for me? Like,
that'd be incredible.
Him
and Chris Wood leading the line.
It'd be wild. It will never happen, but it would just like, that's a very poor example, but I think
it's just hard because especially those two clubs, Real Madrid and Barcelona, are held in such high regard by so many players because, I mean, they both have had such incredible runs over the years, and you grow up and you kind of gravitate towards the teams that are doing well, are stacked, and so I think it would be hard to pry away someone of that caliber, but you see Madrid with Arsenal, we got Ozil from them. We got Ceballos from them. We got Odegaard from them. Like, they weren't star players. Well, Ozil was, but Ceballos and Odegaard were kind of just out of favor. Well, so, you know, you take them on loan and you kind of, I guess, maybe luck out on the deal that you can make with Madrid. But I think there are those players probably in those teams where it's like they just haven't been able to really express what they can do because they just don't get the game time or, you know, the difference in leagues or whatever it might be. But, yeah, I don't know if we're going to see like a Vinny Jr. or Pedri or
those superstars. Or but you nailed the Odegaard and the Ozil thing. I mean, that's what Inter Milan did with Eto'o and Schneider. That's what Chelsea did 10 years ago with Kovacic in Madrid. Like
Higuain, you know?
Yeah, right? I mean, did they win the title with Higuain?
I think so, yeah.
I think they did, but that didn't pan out as well. And he came from Napoli. He came from Napoli. But yeah, no, you're right. Where they got to find the A player in a B-minus player on Madrid.
Yeah.
Right. And I know those are hard to find, but you got to turn turn the coal to a diamond or whatever that saying is. The diamond in the rough. You got to find that diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, if we talk Chelsea specifically still, I think they just put themselves in such a hard spot because if you approach any other club to take a guy on loan, if I'm that player, like, I already see you have such an inflated squad. I don't know that I'm getting in and getting the minutes that I want to get. You know, I'd maybe rather just wait for something else or stay and fight for my spot at Madrid or Barcelona or whatever club it might be. Now, if you're Forest and you go into Champions League next season, I think you could maybe sway a player or two of a lower quality, but still from those teams that, you know, see Premier League and Champions League and maybe probably more minutes than they would get at Madrid or Barca. And you might be able to drag someone over, at least for the season.
So. I think Forest, if they make top four, their owner is going to drop some cash.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Everyone's talking about Isaac going to Liverpool. I think Forest is going to get him. I really do. If they're going to make top four, I think Forest is going to get some guys. And poach.
I mean, I feel like if the price tag of 150 million is true for Isaac, I don't think Arsenal will spend all that money on him. I don't think Liverpool will either. Forest, you know, has been known to spend that money on a handful of players, but if you're at this point where you got top four, you know, most of the squad will be with you still. Maybe, yeah, you splash the cash and
Kevin De Bruyne.
I don't know. I mean, you could. Like,
they could.
I know he's talked going to Saudi for the bag, but, like, if you just get him even for one more season.
Give us one. Like, give us 1 year, Kevin, for Champions League. Virgil, give us 1 year. I would cry.
I hope Forrest kind of goes that route and tries to do some creative deals where it's like, yeah, kind of aging out players, but like still quality. Or, you know, if they want to splash the cash, then yeah, do like some big name that you would never have expected. But I think their owner's like dreaming enough to want to do that.
Have you seen him, their owner?
Yeah,
dude, he's so enthusiastic, and I could see him being the type of guy who would convince you to like want to be a part of what he's doing just by his charisma and his like pure love for the club. Like, he's a dude at a t-shirt and jeans in the owner's booth. He's not some guy like dressed up in a suit and looking super fancy up there. He's like he's in it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tsimikas from Liverpool ends up there too, just because of the Greek bond they have, and he's coming up on contract. So, yeah, man, Forrest reminds me so much of that Leicester team from years ago, but so much more. One, I think a little more well-rounded, because like Leicester had Vardy and Mahrez and Conte, and it was like those dudes were a force. But then they had that fire sale where they got rid of Mahrez, they got rid of Conte, and like Forest is not going to do that, considering how much money they've spent in the last, what, 4 years getting relegated almost 4 years ago, and then and then top four now. So what a turnaround.
Yeah. I mean, talking fire sale, I'm just hoping Bournemouth doesn't do that, because they finally are, like, I mean, for all the years we've been watching, they've not been a relegation side, but, you know, a lower table side, right? And, you know, yeah, we're relegated at a point, but I think that they're finally, like, they got a pretty good team. They're clicking. They got some strong pieces. I mean, you know, heck, they're sitting in ninth right now, but you're on 44 points and top five, if you want to go that high, is on 47. Yeah. So you're still in this thing for a shot at Europe. And you know, I don't know if it'll happen, but I hope they can hang on to a lot of their players and continue to build this team, because they are fun to watch. You know, I think they seem to kind of have that older Wolves energy of just like not really being afraid of who they're going up against. I just hope they hang on to people.
Tyler Adams is a dog.
Yeah. Him being out there and back healthy for them is huge.
Crazy to see. Awesome to see. Damn. All right, Chad, let's just do a quick little recap of these games here. Forest City, we did that. Brighton 2-1, Fulham. I think I was leaning Brighton anyway that game. Fulham is, it's been fine, but Brighton's just been on a momentum.
Fulham's just such a weird team. It's like, you don't know what level of play you're going to get from them week to week.
Very inconsistent. Palace, Sarr. What a nice person to have instead of Mateta up there, too. So I think, you know, talking about teams who don't do a fire sale, Palace, please.
Yeah.
For 1 year, keep these players.
If you had a healthy Elise in this team,
dude,
this guy was the limit.
it hurts to see Elise playing for Bayern and just be like, that guy was on Palace last year.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, it's crazy a team could let that type of player go. But I don't know, Tyrick Mitchell's on gonna be end of contract soon too. But I saw Ben Chilwell come in this weekend, and I was like, wow. I was like, I hope they're not leaning Ben Chilwell over Tyrick Mitchell right now, which I don't know. I guess it depends on contract situation, but that's what my eyes are telling me.
So Chilwell's on loan.
Okay.
I don't know if there's some deal in there, but I know he was injured for a long time, but he's only played 3 matches. So I would hope you stick with Mitchell. Like, I mean, you see how close him and Munoz are on points in fantasy every week. Like, they're and two incredible pieces to have in your team and so consistent. And I don't think you want to upset that right now. Like, if you want to bring in Chilwell as rotation, cool, do it. But I think you got to lock down Mitchell.
I agree. Liverpool, Southampton, obviously we went over that. Aston Villa, Brentford. I wanted a little more out of Brentford. I think it's kind of crazy that Aston Villa at home too, they couldn't get it done against them. I don't know. It's like, if Mbeumo doesn't have it.
Yeah, that's kind of where they're at.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's sucks. A bummer because, you know, they still got Wiese out there, and I feel like early on, it felt like there were some games where Wiese was like, they would fluctuate of like, if one was off, the other was on. And now it just seems like if Mbeumo's off, everything is off.
Yeah, it was a your turn, my turn. And now it's nobody's turn.
Nobody's turn, yeah. I mean, because even Villa, I don't think was great from what I saw. You know, they did well enough, and obviously got the goal, but wanted more fight from Brentford, certainly.
Too. Everton Wolves. I had Everton winning this game. Kind of shocked they couldn't find more. I mean, that first half was kind of back and forth, and the second half it was pretty chill. I think, you know, Beto still needs to I mean, we called him the like baby giraffe, and I still think that stands true. He gets the ball, and it's still like, what's he gonna do next? And even his own teammates don't really know. Again, their back line is still their strong suit here. Mm-hmm. Tarkowski and Branthwaite just had almost a very similar stat line again. I think Branthwaite is starting to take the reins, I would say, from Tarkowski, which does make sense considering their age. I thought Everton would probably get it done against the Wolves.
Yeah, that was definitely a surprise when I saw that scoreline. I know it's still Everton. They're still going to struggle, but they had just been on like such a hot streak there once mm-hmm. Moyes got there. I thought they would kind of be able to continue that a little bit longer.
Yeah, same. Tottenham squeaking by Bournemouth. That was one where I was like, Bournemouth, they slipped.
Yeah, they threw it away.
Yep. They, I don't know.
That was a rough one. Like, I don't think Sarr was shooting. I think it was a botched cross. But, you know, get some luck here and there, and then just kind of bad defending to give up that penalty. And, you know, it felt like Bournemouth was still on top throughout that second half, but just kind of threw it away at two moments there. And, a good draw for Tottenham.
Yes. I need a draw.
Bournemouth, you get that win, and then you're up in eighth at least, or actually you would have went up to seventh and goal difference, I think. So yeah, a bummer, but what are you gonna do?
Go again.
Mm-hmm.
Where did I leave off here? The Chelsea game, Chelsea-Leicester, you know, we did that. United-Arsenal, you called it a loss.
Felt like one.
And then the snoozer of the weekend, I think, was West Ham Newcastle. I caught most of that game today.
Do you regret it?
Luckily, it wasn't my main point of focus. It was more of a listening situation, but the times I was able to like look up and watch it, it was just slightly unbearable. No true game plan out of either teams. Harvey Barnes is definitely quality on Newcastle, but Isaac looked lost too. The Bruno goal was nice, I will say, but terrible defending by West Ham at that point to let Bruno be the final man to touch the ball outside the 6-yard box on his goal. That was crazy. I thought Dan Byrne was awful against Kudus. I thought Kudus had him in his pocket. However, Kudus didn't want to shoot the ball whenever he got past him. For whatever reason, he wanted to cut back and get absolutely slapped by Bruno every time he did that. West Ham makes no sense, dude. If I'm Potter, I'm telling Kudus to shoot the ball every time you have an opportunity to shoot the ball. I don't care where you are. If you have space in front of you, shoot it. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? And I think when... It was like, we talked about this before with Newcastle. When teams go after Trippier, it's a bad time for him. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't on their scouting report, West Ham's. I don't know why. It was a bad game. I'm getting a headache just talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Kudus thing is like a little bit of like the Darwin thing of like,
yeah,
you just let them go out there and run and cause chaos. And, you know, they do it in different ways. But I think if I'm the defending team and I know, he's got the ball, he's definitely dribbling straight at me, that puts a lot of pressure on that defender plus the other ones. And more often than not, I feel like he can get by. You know, he might need a little support with a little layoff pass, whatever. But I feel like... Yeah, so many times this season we've seen him get into good positions and just doesn't take the shot. And I don't feel like it's a confidence thing, because when he was kind of lighting it up, he was trying to be the new Egyptian king or whatever he said, or the African king, whatever it was. But, it's, I would think at this point it's coaching, and they, you know, want him to be a team player more than like solo artist. But like, if you got it, you just drive through, you take that shot, and you know, it either goes in, it gets saved, it deflects, and maybe Bowen's there to tap it in. I don't know, but
this is the fit out situation. Don't fit in, fit out, right?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And with Kudus too, it was very much a like West Ham, they kind of need him to be scoring, right? Where yeah. with Darwin, it's like, we don't need him to score. We just need yeah. him to be like consistent. And with, unfortunately for West Ham, they need Kudus to score. But you're not going to score yeah. unless you shoot. And God, did he have any shots today? I feel like no. He had one. Three shots, okay. one on target. But it didn't yeah. didn't feel like that. But also, they had two shots on target for the day.
Yeah, certainly
tough.
You know, just not utilizing all their tools
no.
correctly at all this season.
Potter's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah.
All right, Chad. Team player goal for the week here?
Well, team, I think it's got to be Forrest, you know.
Unanimous. Easy peasy.
We love a win against City. Especially just do it in the Forrest way.
Like, I know.
They did nothing different, played their game, and it worked.
We predicted what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, for player, I would say a tough one in my book, just based on what we saw yeah. out of everyone. I really want to lean towards a Forrest player. I would give it to their whole back line if I could, but I think Sells is probably going to earn it just because he was able to lock out we'll call it a high-scoring team, right? If it's not going to be him, I'm flipping over to Dean Magic Hat Henderson because another clean sheet for Palace. Without, I think he got six saves on the day against Ipswich. Again, you know, Ipswich is not the crazy goal-scoring team, but 8.5 on the rating for the weekend. Henderson's starting to enter his prime. I bet Man United wish they had him instead of Onana right now. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeper. It's a keeper weekend for me just because of how many clean yeah. sheets we had. My goodness.
I like that. Yeah, I think either one of those are great options. My, like, I guess honorable mention here is David Raya. Incredible double save to keep the points for Arsenal.
True.
You know, it was very nearly actually a loss.
And you know, it's funny. It's the second save I thought in that sequence that we're talking about, I actually thought wasn't that impressive. It was the first save. I thought the second yeah. save, he had plenty of time to get to that ball. And like the yeah. ball wasn't even on, I don't think, the goal line yet when he punched it out. It was the initial save when that was a rocket hit at him. And that yeah. thing could have gone anywhere. And he timed it, you know, as perfectly yeah. as he could. So,
and I think that it kind of, seeing him against Onana was interesting because we've seen Onana so many times do the weird like bobble then save. Like, he for whatever reason loves to do it that way. And I think, you know, you flip keepers here. I don't think that first save maybe, but I don't know that you get back for or give yourself the opportunity to make that second save if you're Onana, because you probably like bobble out in front and then right. Bruno's there to tap it in, or Hoyland I think was right there too. It's like, so yeah, I don't know, Onana doing risky things this season. So
what impressed me about Raya was how fast he gets back to his feet.
Yeah,
I was comparing myself to him and I was like, it takes me so long to get up after. I'm like, I'm so tired, I already got to the ground, I gotta go back up again. Like, that takes way too long. So that was obviously impressed me how cat-like he is,
yeah.
Pouncing back up. So, I'm happy to give it to Ray. We'll give it to Ray because he saved y'all. He saved y'all. Yeah. He really did. Yeah. All right, goal of the week. What you got?
Like I said, I don't think Sarr's shot for Tottenham was a shot. I think it was a cross. But I'll give him credit for it because it ended up looking like a pretty nice goal. So he makes the list.
What about the other Sar?
His is pretty tight, too.
Yeah, it was all right.
I'll put both Sars on the list. Why not?
Yeah.
I do like Rice's goal, you know, and I guess Bruno's free kick. I love a free kick goal, and that was pretty much as perfect as it can be.
Yep.
Even with the maybe controversy of the wall was too far back or whatever, but like,
yeah, it was weird.
That thing's never been exact. We're taking paces to count out the yards. Like, I don't know why we're trying to measure it accurately now, but. yeah, both of those are cool. Hudson-Odoi's goal against City was nice.
He's just, I think that's banger.
Kind of it. Like, the other ones on the weekend, I think were all, like, good, but those ones are the ones that I think made me kind of made me excited.
I think for me, the Darwin one, just because we've seen Darwin put in this situation before where he can't finish those, and the way that ball was crossed in was smoked.
Yeah,
and for him to get laces on it and like perfect in the net goal, didn't expect it. I think it was definitely like thank goodness he made that, because it was we were starting to get in that spot of what is this game going to be right now? Like where are we at? And then it's like as soon as he made that goal, everything started clicking, and then we just. Kind of just kept going. So
said, "Oh, we put the ball in the back of the net."
Okay. Yeah. I will say though, I thought the Rice goal was probably the most impressive, just because of where it was placed and how far out of reach it was from Onana. Mm-hmm. I just think they needed that one, and Rice hasn't been shooting as much as I think you would like. So maybe that will encourage him a little bit more that he can make those goals. He can shoot.
I just need everyone to shoot at this moment in time. Like, make it happen. If it's a day where everyone's shooting and you know everyone's on it, we get a game against PSV where it's seven.
Yeah.
You know, if not, at least we're hopefully getting one. So
maybe save a couple of those seven for like you know a game against Man United.
Yeah.
You did score too many. All right, Chad. I think that was pretty good here. We got a busy week coming up. Champions League tomorrow. Round of 16 is ending. Score predictions for PSG Liverpool?
Kind of thinking another 1-0, but ooh. I think Liverpool will look better this week. I think being at home... Anfield behind them is going to be a huge help. I feel like Salah is going to be on a different level. I think he will have been disappointed with how his PSG game went. And he'll want to right that wrong. So I think PSG will still bring it because they have to. But I think Liverpool will do enough to get by.
I'm going 2-0. I think we'll score and then the game will open up a little bit. And we'll fair. Find a way to put that second in to secure it and be done. That is my wishful thinking. Just jumping to the flip side here, Arsenal PSV. I have a feeling Arsenal is going to lose 3-0.
Three?
I think 3-0. And you're good. Nervous. You're good. Why? That's fine.
It's still three goals.
But you didn't play anyone. In my head, you're not playing anyone.
It's fair.
Saliba is resting. Gabby is resting. It's just me.
Yeah. That's fair. I'd like it to still be a win and at worst a draw, but I think my biggest thing will just be seeing the most amount of rotation we can do. Like, I think you got to get Ben White in there, you know, give Timber a little bit of a break, but then also just get Ben White back up to speed. You know, Martinelli just came back. I think he'll probably play most of the game. But everyone else, I think you got to kind of rest him. I wouldn't be surprised if Tierney just starts at left back just because, like, why not, you know? I think it'll be interesting. I think Arteta has learned enough at this point to use this game to rotate and not feel like he needs to put the full strength team out there for no reason. So that's the big thing I'm looking for. I don't think we'll get close to giving away six, but I guess never say never.
Never know. Yellow cards reset too after this, so you don't have nothing to worry about there.
All right, cool.
It was last game. Game one was where you wanted to worry about the yellow cards. So I expect a little bit more of a force coming out of these teams in this game, round two. Sure. But whew, I'm nervous. Yeah. All right, Chad. Pleasure speaking with you. Nice. Another one in the books, episode 96. And that, the Hooligans pitch, we're out.
Peace.